Good morning, everyone. Welcome back to Sit Down with Sid podcast. This is your host, Sid. Season 3, episode 1. With popular demand, we have our guest, Michael Sal, today on the episode. And we have a lot of interesting topics we want to cover. With that being said, Michael, I want to thank you very much for, first of all, accepting the invite. I know you're very busy.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
No problem. So, Michael, I want to talk about, there is a lot going on in the United States of America, as we know. The main thing I want to talk about you is what's going on with Trump, you know? So the first thing I want to start with you, and I want to hear your thoughts, feedback, and what you think where this country is heading is, the 34 counts of charges, criminal charges that were brought against by the jury members in New York City, almost last week. What do you have to say about that? Did you agree with the verdict? The audience wants to hear your view. You know, what do you think?
I think it's obvious to anyone who's followed it that it's a political prosecution. It has nothing to do with violating laws or anything. Unfortunately, for people who don't follow it, you can't blame them. You can't make your life politics. It can easily appear as if he did something terrible, but it is purely a banana republic. Not every criticism the Republicans launch at the Democrats is reasonable or true, but this is clearly the case. They're undermining the rule of law. I don't have to walk you through the steps. I'm sure your audience understands that.
I mean, I agree with you 100%. I mean, the charges were for falsifying business records for the hush money, $130,000 that he paid to Stormy Daniels. I mean, it is so crystal clear. The world is watching. I mean, after his verdict,
They twisted themselves into a pretzel in order to make a crime. The $130,000 was entered as a legal expense. Michael Cohen, the lawyer for Trump, made the payments out of his pocket. And so Trump reimbursed him both the $130,000 plus the amount he would have to pay on taxes. And on Trump's records, it was listed as a legal expense. That arguably is true, but it could be disputed. Making a payment, a hush money payment, is not in its illegal. It's done all the time. But so what the Bragg did, the prosecutor, he said, well, that was false because really it was hush money, even though hush money is legal. And therefore, you falsified your business records. Well, the statute of limitations had run out on that. So even if Bragg were accurate, it wouldn't matter. But Bragg further took a federal law that says if you, in the course of committing a crime, you attempt to influence an election, that it's a violation. And somehow he twisted it to where this federal law applied to Trump, even though he has no authority to prosecute a federal law, and he was able to convict him. But I mean, I've been told I didn't read the judge's charge, but I've been told that the jury really didn't do anything wrong given the way the judge framed the charges to them.
But Michael, how
which
how
is scarier yet.
Yeah, but my thing is, how can you say that the jury, I mean, it took them only three hours to come to this verdict, number one. Number two, I don't know if you remember, Mayor Adams said that Riker Island is ready to welcome Donald Trump, you know? Alvin Bragg, when he was elected, the first thing he said was, I am going to put Trump behind bars, right? So, I mean, this is all manipulated, but how were they so easily able to manipulate the jury? That's the most mind-boggling thing, which
well,
I cannot
simple.
understand.
The jury gets a narrow view of the things that go on in the courtroom. They're asked to leave when a variety of things, for example, Trump wanted to bring in an expert on election law. Well, they debated that, but not in front of the jury. The jury only sees what the judge allows them to see. And the way that it's obviously they twisted this all into a pretzel. I mean, what he said was unprecedented because in order for Trump to be guilty, he had to be have done this in furtherance of another crime. So they listed three crimes that it could have been done in furtherance of. And then in the charge, I understand, the judge said to the jury, now, any one of those three crimes, if you think he's guilty and this was done in furtherance of, you should vote to convict. Well, in other words, if the jurors, if one of them, one third of them thought he was guilty of crime A and one third crime B and one third crime C, I'm not sure I would call that a unanimous jury.
Right. I agree.
It is pure garbage. It was an engineered conviction. And there's little more to say than that. That's all it was.
So let me ask you, Michael, under the Constitution law for the freedom of speech, why was Trump charged with a gag order and not being able to speak anything in his own defense? That's his constitutional right, being a citizen of this country.
The gag orders are usually imposed in defense of the defendant, not the, you know, to help him. But because the judge claimed that Trump would unduly influenced the jury. The jury was going home and they were instructed not to look at newspapers, but I'm sure that never happens. And so he said it could influence a public opinion, which would influence a jury. It was all garbage. It was unprecedented. Everything they did, they invoked the law in the process of this, which was designed where if you falsify a business record to save money on taxes, then it's a crime.
But that's a misdemeanor,
but
Michael, as you said.
It doesn't specifically say save money. So in this case, Trump actually paid more taxes. If he had paid Stormy Daniels direct, that would have been, you know, the end of it, the $130,000. But because he went through Michael Cohen and Michael Cohen paid taxes and she paid taxes, there was many, much more in taxes paid, but they invoked the law anyway. So in essence, they said he violated the law because he paid more taxes than he would have if he hadn't violated the law.
Wow. Wow, that's a joke, actually.
But that's exactly what they claim.
So, I mean, his conviction is set for July 11th. From your opinion, what do you see? I mean, him being sentenced to, it was 4 years for charges multiplied by 34, looking at 136 years, which is not going to happen. There is a lot of talk in media that they might give him like federal probation. They cannot put him in prison. Where do you see, from your point of view, what do you see as a conviction on July 11th?
You know what? If you, my instincts are it would be impossible for them to sentence him to jail. But they've so far gone beyond anything I could imagine. I couldn't imagine a self-respecting judge not giving a directed verdict in as acquittal.
Right.
Not only didn't he give a directed verdict, he gave a charge to the jury, which apparently tied the jurors' hands and made them convict. So my point being, I'm not a very good prognosticator here. I can't, who knows what these lunatics will do.
So, I mean, the thing is, the global leaders, the support that he got after he was convicted of these 34 counts. I mean, you see how much support there is pouring in from all over the globe with the top political leaders from other countries. I mean, what do you think is the perception in their eyes? I mean, are they laughing at the United States? I mean,
of course.
Listen, USA is
You know, Brazil and Argentina and other banana republics can reasonably say you're no different.
Yeah. So my point to you is, United States, what is United States known as? The superpower of the world, right? Do you think that will stay if this, the way this thing is going on? To me, I think this is the most interesting and the most turning point in the history of the United States if things go south after the November election.
I mean, the truth is, it's a minor issue if you're measuring it against the U.S. world reputation, but it certainly isn't helpful.
Right. And what do you have to say about the support of the Blacks and the Hispanics for Trump? I mean, as you can see, the
my only question would be, what took them so long? The Democratic Party has kept poor children, predominantly a lot of, 50%, I'm not sure, Black and Hispanic, more maybe. They've kept them in a poverty prison through the Democrats have through their support of the teachers' union. There's no more just vulgar performance and the horrors that they have foisted on young children can't be described. You know, for 40 years, every year we put more money into the educational system in real dollars, inflation adjusted. For 40 years, the education has declined. Social pathologies have their roots in many things, but education is one of the big ones. And social pathologies, unfortunately, have blossomed. The classroom sizes have gone down. The number of administrators have gone up. The teachers' salaries have gone up. But the quality of the education, I mean, the statistics are frightening. They have whole school districts where no one can read at school, at grade level. And every Democratic politician walks in fear. They whatever the teachers union says, they agree to. Josh Shapiro was elected governor of Pennsylvania, the rare Democrat who said that he was going to support school choice. The state legislature passed a school choice bill. When it got to his desk, he vetoed it. They're all the same. They cannot, they're all scared to death of the teachers. The teachers union is, by the way, the single strongest force in the Democratic Party. They have more people at the presidential convention, nominating convention. They have more workers in the field than even the other unions who support Democrats. They are activists, and unfortunately, our children suffer. They indoctrinate rather than educate, and it's shameful.
But Michael, then how do you change that? I mean, you're talking about this on a massive level. You know,
there's one way to change it: elect. Conservative elect Republicans, elect people who want to tear down the union and open competition. You know, it's funny, we understand that in business, a monopoly gets lethargic, it loses its ability to innovate, price quality goes down, prices go up. Well, why don't they think the same thing happens in education?
Right.
And then you got guys like Jeff Yaz, a billionaire founder of Susquehanna, very bright and well-meaning guy, but he writes an article in the journal, I Support School Choice. But he says, I give the Democrats that support school choice. Well, the only Democrats I know supporting school choice are resting in the ground. May they rest in peace. There's no breathing ones. And even if there were, if a Democrat did, then he would be supporting the party that opposes school choice. So effectively, his money is still undermining the goal he sets out to achieve. I mean, school choice Democrats are like pro-life Democrats. You know, they're all resting in a graveyard somewhere. They don't exist. They're unicorns.
Yeah, but Michael, the thing is, as you know, the money flows only on the top 1%. And I don't know anyone in the top 1% category who favors Republican Party or Trump. For example, Mark Cuban, full pro-Biden. Bill Ackman, who was full pro-Biden, now has changed his opinion and is saying, you know what, after what happened in New York City, I'm going to go for Trump. Dwayne Johnson, in 2020, he endorsed Biden, and he came out in public last month on a video saying that it was the biggest mistake he ever did, and he will not endorse Biden. He did not say that he will endorse Republican, but he said, Trump, I mean, but he said he will not endorse Biden. But my point to you is, like, people like Mark Cuban, other top billionaires who provides funding, I mean, it feels like they control the power. You know, to me, what I think is Trump is the people's president. Biden is the top 1% president. But the irony of the power of money is such that 1% of that overrides the 99% of the other majority of the people. Do you agree with my analogy, or what are your thoughts on this?
Well, I agree with your description of what's going on. I think that you and many people vastly overrate the value of the money. Remember, Trump won in 2016 with half the expenditures of Hillary, and that did not even include the volunteer work, which with the unions, Hillary had an overwhelming advantage there as well. Money does not, has a very limited value. Once you've seen an advertisement and given it a moment's thought, if they repeat it 12 times, which they do, it has no value the last 11 times. So,
that's interesting.
But another error that people make, they think that a Bill Ackman or a Jeff Yaz or other guys, this Mark Rowan, who gave $50 million to Penn and then became outraged at the anti-Semitic protests after October 7th. Well, let me see. Penn has been taking money from Chinese, right, and deferring to their wishes for God knows how long. Penn, on the Penn campus, if you espoused anything but the woke agenda, you had virtually no chance of tenure. They brooked no dissent. They supported the BDS movement, which is nothing more anti-Semitic than that. All right. And this has been going on for years. And all of a sudden, he wakes up because of October 7th. The point is that because somebody makes a lot of money, that doesn't mean they've got a shred of understanding in other areas. They think they do. See Michael Bloomberg for details.
Right.
But the reality is oftentimes, and they give the money away for, I don't want to, you know, self-aggrandizement, virtue signaling, whatever the case. But I promise you this. If Bill Ackman, when he gave to Harvard, or Ken Griffin, $500 million to Harvard, or Mark Rowan to Penn, if these guys did, if they treated their contribution the same way they treat their business investments, they wouldn't have given a nickel. But they don't. They just go ahead and give the money. You know.
But doesn't that go on your point? The education system is so corrupt. It's more indoctrination versus education.
It's worthless. It's a corrupt system. It's horrible. You go to college today, it's worthless. If you're going to get a low-level white-collar job, I guess it's okay. They want to see the degree. But what they teach you, the best measure that I've heard is that when I was young, a high school graduate had the equivalent of a college graduate. But I would argue that it was probably greater. I mean, our high school courses and whatnot were far more detailed than the college courses today.
I mean, yeah, it's pathetic what's going on, because I wanted to bring this up. I mean, if you look around what's going in California too, they're teaching, they're sexualizing kids, you know, 8-year-old, 10 years old. I mean, who does that? I mean, where are the parents? What are the parents doing?
Well, you know, they've got the press. When Disney passes a law that says you can't teach sex education to kindergarten, first or second grade, and the left twists it into a don't say gay law, which is complete nonsense, but that's what they twisted, and then they run with it. And then you got outfits like, or the Georgia voting law, which actually support made it easier to vote. One thing, it did require identification, but if you didn't have identification, you could easily get it prior to voting. But these, they passed the law. They have more polling stations, longer hours, and the mainstream press says that it's an attack on poor and Black Americans. I mean, that's and then Coca-Cola reprimands them, and they pull the All-Star game out of Georgia. I mean, these people are nuts.
Yep.
Then nobody cares about the truth.
It's very sad, though, because once again, the purpose of education is, see, education and awareness is something. But education and indoctrination is, to me and people like yourself, I'm sure, is unacceptable. But the problem is they must change this, or the future of this country is very bleak. You know, we've been here for, I mean, you are here all your life. I've been here for almost 2 decades. And it's very sad to see for someone like me, an immigrant converted into a citizen legally, to see where this country is heading. You know, I am really, I am not big on politics. I never speak about it. But I think this year, I would like to voice my opinion, and I am not afraid to speak out the truth, you know.
Well, I mean, my hope, and it's no more than hope, is that historically, there's always been these forces which trying to undermine the system, the most successful, the most generous, the best system ever created by man. There's always been forces trying to undermine it. And so far they failed, although they continue to make inroads. But my hope is that there's enough people willing to stand up and fight to stop them. I mean, what choice do we have?
Yeah. And Michael, what are your thoughts about the illegal migrants pouring into our country? I want to tell you one thing, and then I'm going to let you take away from here. In California, they actually are providing free health insurances to illegal immigrants. And now, last month, if I remember correctly, they are the federal government will provide them mortgage without any income or status to buy a home in the state of California. I mean, it boils my blood because
the inmates are running the asylum. I mean, you know, Ronald Reagan said it best. He said the answers are simple, they're just not easy. Why those forces exist, I don't know. Obviously, illegal immigration, it's only a matter of time till we have a recurrence of the terrorist attacks. They're coming in. The evidence is overwhelming. The price of labor, the market price of labor will go down, but the artificially inflated price by liberals and will push it up. And so you'll have fewer people working, but at higher salaries. It's like they just did in California in the fast food industry with their right. $20 minimum wage. Well, so what do you have? You have vast numbers of stores closing. The ones that are open are both automating, getting rid of full-time, bringing in part-time employees. So, yeah, the ones there are making $20 an hour. The problem is you have a third of them. You have higher prices because half the market that provides fast food can't exist with that. They're marginal businesses. The ones that are barely breaking even or just earning a living for the owner, they're all out of business now. It's a death sentence for them. But it's worse because it also means increased prices. I mean, it's obvious what's going to happen. What is happening? It's already happening.
Michael, it's interesting you brought this up because I wanted to segue into this topic, inflation and economy. Apparently, under Biden, which we call Bidenomics, U.S. economy is doing the best. Stock market, Dow Jones, NASDAQ is at its highest. I mean, the inflation numbers are under control, which is completely false. But once again, you know, media only displays the voice of the top 1%, right? Elon Musk, for example, I love Elon Musk. I think he's one of the greatest visionaries of this planet has ever had. His net worth went from $26 billion in 2022, almost $200 billion. Mark Cuban. So people with the top 1%, they have increased their wealth by over 40% in a span of 3.5 years. Whereas the middle class has slowly started to diminish because cost of commodity, price, goods, everything is going up, right? Do you believe, to us, it's very obvious the numbers that they bring on, CPI numbers, inflation, job numbers, it's all manipulated, right? Because they want another 4 years of the Blue Party, the Democratic president, come November 2024. Do you agree? I want to hear your views on, you know, you live in the city, you know better, you know what's going on with the inflation and everything.
All right. There are 2 points I want to make. I'm going to try and make it short. They're different from anything you've heard, but I believe them to be absolute. Inflation, there are two measures of inflation. One is, I'll call it nominal inflation. And that's what the government reports. And it's inaccurate, but for argument's sake, we'll say it's it. And that means if an apple costs $1 and it costs $1.05 the following year, then it's a 5% inflation. That's nominal. Then there's what I call real inflation. And what that is, productivity in an economy not only provides new and better services, replacing old ones, but it drives prices down. So as an analogy, let's suppose that there was a bumper apple crop, and apples, given the normal competitive forces, would have gone from $1 down to 75 cents. But inflation drove the price up to $1.05, the nominal inflation reported would be 5%. The real inflation would be 30%.
Wow, that makes sense.
The productivity that's left on the table, so to speak, that eats up your dollar, which you're not getting the benefit of, is a part of inflation. That's number one. So we would all be enjoying a vastly better lifestyle without inflation. And I can give you the source of that. But another second point I want to make, which many people don't understand, they look at Elon Musk, and you say his net worth went from 60 to 200 billion. What's he need to do? I mean, it's really great fodder for Democratic liberal propaganda. But think about this. In spite of our Constitution, our government has the ability to raise taxes, to confiscate, to do damn near anything they want. So if we work on the assumption that the people are the government, and the government can basically tax anything into oblivion, they can regulate it into oblivion, who really owns Tesla? Is it Elon Musk or is it the government? I'd argue that we, the people, as the government, own it. Now, why do we have Elon Musk? Why is it in our interest that he have 200 billion? Well, he's obviously demonstrated a terrific ability for creating wealth and providing wonderful things for millions of hundreds of millions of people. So he's the guy I want managing it. So Warren Buffett, Elon Musk, they are managing our money. That's all that's going on. And we receive the benefit when he uses that wealth to create a better car. We, the public, are the beneficiary. To the extent we made a bad judgment and he's not such a good money manager, well, what happens? He loses the money and he's no longer our manager. The money is somewhere else. So I have no objection. The inequality myth, I wrote a paper on it. It's a myth, because that inequality exists because you need to pool money to do great things.
Right.
All right. You can't build an electric vehicle without a lot. It costs $2.5 billion to get a drug through the FDA. All right. Well, without pooled money, that couldn't happen. And the same thing applies when you give individuals the authority to control. What can Elon Musk consume out of his $200 billion in his entire lifetime? If he made it a project to consume as much as he wanted, he couldn't consume a half a percent of it. Right. So what's he doing with the rest of the money? He's investing it. He's making it work for us.
Right.
And it's not a perfect system, but no system is. It's certainly proven better than any other system where they tax Elon Musk into oblivion, which leftist regimes tend to do. Mm-hmm. Third point and last one, the cause of inflation.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's money, printing money. You know, we had the 2008 crisis. I suppose they were right. They had to print money. I'm not sure they were right, but let's assume they are, in order to get us through it. We'd otherwise have collapse of major institutions. But what they did, they just kept printing. All right. And the way they print is to buy government bonds. So the government continued to spend money like a drunken sailor. The Fed under Bernanke and then Janet Yellen began printing or continued printing, and even under Mnuchin, you know, as Treasury Secretary, Powell, you know. And it wasn't until 2 years ago when the inflation cycle spiked. Now, people say, well, we have 3% inflation, but do we really? If productivity was 5%, I'd argue we have 8% inflation, even today. Right. And I mean, you hear Janet Yellen, it's almost scary listening to her talk. She was on CNBC this morning, and she started talking about what a good idea would be to tax unrealized gains. So let me see. I own a stock worth $100. And over the next 5 years, the company doesn't do anything, but inflation goes up 5% a year. So now it's worth $125. Right. But I didn't make it my purchasing power on $125, same as $100 that I invested.
Right.
All right. But Janet Yellen thinks it's okay to come in and say, you know what, Michael, you owe a third of that in taxes. So I'm losing money by investing and breaking even. I mean, these people, Janet Yellen was the one who said the laughably titled Inflation Reduction Act, which was nothing but a spendthrift act for Democratic priorities, a wish list of spending. She said, oh, it definitely is going to have a positive effect on inflation. I don't know if she really believes it. If she is, she's awfully stupid, or if she's just lying to us. But what she said was obviously not going to prove true, as the inflation cycle proved. And even Powell, I mean, the quantitative tightening, which is buying back bonds, the way they get money into the economy is by they get money in, they print money and buy bonds. Quantitative right. tightening is they sell money, they sell the bonds and retire some of the paper creation of that money. Even that, he stopped now. I mean, that would have a tightening effect. It would cause his interest rates to go up, and that's what they're all afraid of. But how can you have the country spending $1 trillion every 3 months more than it takes in?
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. I mean, look at the debt. I mean, how are they going to pay off the debt? So, I mean,
They can only inflate their way out of it. In other words, if inflation starts running at 10% a year, anyone holding the debt is screwed. But it will, it'll reduce. It'll cause economic dislocation, recession or depression, but that is the only escape from it.
I mean, you did see like Signature Bank, other small banks going out of business because, as you said, they buy the bonds, but when the interest rates go up, they had to sell it.
Well, that was Signature and Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
It shows how stupid people in senior positions can be. They got massive deposits. And rather than just say, we're not paying interest if you want to keep the money here, they took the deposits and they were paying, say, 0.25% from all these big Silicon Valley companies. And they went and they bought long-term government bonds. Well, according to banking, the bookkeeping, if the bonds go down in value, the bank doesn't have to book a loss because in theory, they're going to get it back 100%. All right. But then when a couple of the big Silicon Valley tech companies pulled money out, they needed their money. The only way Silicon could repay them was to sell the bonds. Now they do have to book the loss. As interest rates go up, the value of the bond comes down. So they book the loss. And now everyone said, hey, wait a minute, my money's not too secure there. And they all ran for the exits. Well, what were they doing buying government bonds to begin with?
Right.
If they can't employ the money on a short-term basis, they shouldn't take the money. In other words, if they make a one-year loan and interest rates go up, okay, they can withstand that.
Right.
But when they buy a 10-year bond, they can't. And so it was their own mismanagement.
It's unbelievable. Very unfortunate what happened. Michael, I want to share this number and I want your opinion on this. This is specifically for New York. In 2016, Hillary Clinton had 59% votes compared to Trump's 36.5. In 2020,
among what group?
This is the New York City presidential poll, okay. The election poll. In 2020, it was 61% Biden to 37.7% Trump. As of June 2024, it is 47% Biden to 38% Trump. So the gap is narrowing. My question to you is, do you think Trump can win New York, or will he win New York?
No, but I think it's a great reflection of what's going on nationally. Look, I forgot the guy's name, a good guy, Republican, ran against Kathy Hochul for governor. I mean, she's a total incompetent. Yeah, that was, she has no business any more than Cuomo, her former boss, had being there. But she won the election. There's nothing. Look, New York elected. New York was an ungovernable city. They elected Giuliani. Giuliani turned it around. He made it the shining city on the hill. Every increase in real estate development. Used to be you couldn't walk the streets if you parked your car, it got robbed. Under Giuliani, you could go out at 2 in the morning, walk in Central Park and feel safe. All right? Then Bloomberg, after 8 years of that, Bloomberg came along and he maintained the Giuliani policies for the next 12 years. So they had 20-year good years. What did they do? They elected a guy, de Blasio, who went right back to the bad old days. And now New York is a disaster. I mean, so my point is, I'm not, in spite of the change, you know, I just don't believe that they will ever learn. If they couldn't learn from the contrast between pre-Giuliani and Giuliani and Bloomberg, they didn't learn from that, they'll never learn.
Well, it's very unfortunate what Giuliani happened to Giuliani. I mean, the guy is almost bankrupt and sued by Dominion and all that stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, once again, I was not in this country when Giuliani was here and so forth. But after his stand for Trump during the 2020 elections, after post, that guy is completely destroyed. You know, he put actually his apartment on sale a couple of months ago. It's on the market, you know.
Yeah, no, so, look, I've heard that. I don't know how guilty or not he is of any of that, but I am certain of what he did for New York. That there's no doubt about. And if they didn't realize that what was causing crime, they complain nobody wants crime in the street, but they keep electing the politicians that give them no bail. They have people in New York, criminals that are arrested 3 times in the same day and let out with no bail each time.
Why would they do that, right? I mean, how nuts is that?
It's insanity. I have no idea what motivates it.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, I want to ask you, since you brought Cuomo up. So I heard that Cuomo, Mario Cuomo, he might be running for the mayor after Mayor Adams. So he's suggesting or hinting a return. And I think the chances are very high for him being elected as the mayor of New York City.
I agree.
If that happens, what happens, Michael? That's my question to you.
You know, I'm not sure.
Are you a fan of Mario Cuomo? That's my question. Were you a fan of
No,
him?
no, no. The guy, come on. I mean, what he did at COVID should have marked him lousy, moving, requiring people after hospitalization to go back into the old age homes and nursing homes, which caused the highest death rate of any state in the nation among the elderly because of him. No, I'm no fan for sure. My optimism says maybe he'll learn, maybe he'll want to become a Giuliani type and straighten New York out. Or will he allow his liberal instincts to continue to destroy it? I don't know. I hope.
I mean, what do you think about his brother, Chris Cuomo? I mean, he was fired from CNN, and now actually he has joined a right-wing media PBD podcast, based in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. So I,
Now
you
wait,
know, as
that
much.
hard to, is he their token Democrat?
Yeah. My question to you is now, if you listen to him, I know people are not a fan of him. I was never a fan of him. But one thing I like about him is he knows how to talk. I don't know if that is his manipulative skill, if that is just his interpersonal skills. I can listen to him, although I don't agree with him. Now he is shifting support towards Trump as well. The guy who hated Trump at
Well,
CNN.
unfortunately, these battle, these conversions are highly suspect. Joe Scarborough was in Congress before he went on MSNBC, MSDNC, we should call it. He was a conservative Democrat or conservative Republican from Florida. He voiced the Republican message as well as anyone. But money and romance and other things have made him, I mean, I view him as simply unprincipled, but I mean, we all have to make a living, but I'm not sure you have to sacrifice principles for that. And I'm guessing that Chris Cuomo's probably in the same category.
Very interesting. Michael, I want to bring a couple of more topics before we wrap this up. Before I do that, I want to know your thoughts on cryptocurrency, the most powerful digital currency. Do you believe in it? Trump actually supporting crypto. He said he's accepting donations in terms of Bitcoin. And he said if elected, he's going to make sure the crypto industry booms. Versus the current administration, the SEC, they want to take it off the market, What is your perception on crypto? Do you think this is real? Do you think it's another Ponzi
I
scheme?
think
Give
it's
me a
real. I think it has value. Bitcoin only exists as a store of value. They have other cryptos that are based on Bitcoin, which are more easily transferred. It costs $5 or $10, and the transfer of bitcoins takes a couple of minutes. So you can't buy a cup of coffee with Bitcoin. A fraction of a Bitcoin. It's too cumbersome. But Ethereum, for example, has characteristics that heretofore never existed. You can write a contract into the currency, so that it only distributes at the termination of the contract. And there's no legal jargon, it just happens. It goes to the directed. Now, if you want to dispute it or anything else, that's up to you, but whoever gets paid. Look, it's attractive in no small part because of governments around the world. There's no safe haven for currency. The United States, as much as we printed, Japan was printing more, Western Europe less than Japan, but more than we were. So basically, we were the tallest midget. We were all midgets, but we just had a couple inches on them. And the attraction to Bitcoin is it's like gold, but it's transferred more easily. You don't need a physical transfer. The interesting thing is for the politicians who are so up in arms about crypto being used for illicit purposes, well, cash is used for illicit purposes, gold, diamonds, anything of worth. But at least with Bitcoin, you have a permanent record of where it was transferred, not who the owner was, but
right.
but to the wallet that it went to. So essentially, it is less desirable to be used for criminal activities than cash or gold.
Got it.
But as long as people agree, and apparently since its inception, people are joining in, as long as they agree that it is a store of value, then it will continue to grow. Remember, when they mint the 21 million, they stopped. That's it. You can't create more. And if you lose your wallet, like I know somebody had crypto, he died in a helicopter crash. Nobody knew the key to his wallet. His crypto disappeared. So really, 21 million is in excess of the actual number in circulation.
Got it. That makes sense. Okay. Michael, a couple of things, last things before we wrap this up. I know you came up with an article online, Israel and its failed policy. I want to know your opinion on Israel-Hamas, what's going on October 7th. My views on this topic stays neutral, you know, because it's a very sensitive topic. It's very hard to take sides. So as I said, my views are neutral and they will stay neutral. But I want to know, since you wrote this article too, give us your take on Israel-Hamas, U.S. support of Israel, U.S. support of U.S. condemnation of Hamas, et cetera, related to this topic.
Well, look.
And I'm sorry.
Well-meaning person.
Right.
Who would support Hamas, who's a part of the Palestinian movement, just has to be ignorant of what's going on. That doesn't make him a bad person. The history of the region, it was never, there was no such thing as a Palestinian state. It was before the First World War, it was owned by Turkey. After Turkey lost the war, the British came in, the peace agreement made the British a protectorate. So the Palestinians were offered a state of their own, but they were told by the Arab nations surrounding Israel that we're going to drive the Jews into the sea, and don't worry, just camp on the borders. That's how all those camps that you see today. In 1948, they were founded because they were waiting to come back. Many abandoned their land. You know, they had modest ownership, but they left. The ones that stayed are full Israeli citizens, with the exception they can't serve in the army. Anyway, so the Arabs attacked in 48. They attacked in, 67, 73, 82, one other time. They attacked five times. And Israel rebuffed them. Now, you have to understand, the Palestinians, they do not want a state next to Israel. They want Israel driven into the sea. So the only solution for them is the complete destruction of Israel as a nation, of the Jews that live there. Okay? Well, you can't negotiate with someone whose only solution is your destruction. The Palestinians were offered a state, not just in 48, four or five times after that. They turned it down. Why? Because they want Israel proper as well. They want the Jews driven out. So the support of the Palestinians is mind-boggling for anyone who knows what's going on. If the only negotiation between you and I is I kill you,
right,
then there's nothing to negotiate.
Right.
And I mean, you would think that the barbaric nature of what happened October 7th would maybe open the eyes of some people, but obviously it didn't. Look, the Democratic Party, the liberals, have, with through the BDS movement, have been
yes.
anti-Semitic for decades. All right? There's nothing new there. It's staggering that 80% of Jews vote Democratic. But what I wrote in the article was, look, Israel has to look at itself. What have they done wrong? When they trade 1,000 terrorists for one Israeli, all right, granted, it's wonderful to get that Israeli home. But in the long run, my argument is they're causing much more death and destruction because of that trade. The hostages in the October 7th have to be viewed as dead. They have to just go in, do what you can to save them if they're alive. But you cannot, you can no longer do adopt the policy that Israel has, save an Israeli at all costs, because the cost of saving one Israeli might mean the death of 10 other Israelis.
That is true.
And the U.S. position with Israel in real politics, in its own interests, all right, is Israel's intelligence has helped the U.S. from day one, from 1948 until today. It's right. The only military outpost. And my thesis, so far as Israel taking a hard line, remember, the world will condemn them. They condemn Jews, and they have throughout history. This cycle is nothing new. It's repeated itself 20 times for literally thousands of years. Jews have always been treated this way. But the differential now is they have a nuclear capability. And with that nuclear capability, there's going to be plenty of criticism, but there's not going to be any military action, with the possible exception of Iran. So they can afford to take a hard line now. They should continue to develop their nuclear capability, and they should take a very hard line and just destroy it. The only peace that has ever occurred in history has occurred because somebody had the military force to do it. What I call it a euphemism when they say negotiated peace. Negotiated peace is really a negotiated surrender. And that's the only way wars end. And that's the only way peace ever arrives. Well, and the notion that they're going to somehow turn their weapons into plowshares are nonsense. It's not going to happen. And Israel has adopted a policy foolishly hoping it would.
You know, like Biden has offered and told Israel for a ceasefire. And I saw an interview of Netanyahu last week. And he said, as much as we appreciate the support, these are his words, appreciate the support of the United States, who has been with us from day one, we will not stop till we eradicate Hamas completely. If US likes it or US does not like it. He said, it's my job to protect my people, and we will only stop once we completely eradicate Hamas. So, I mean, with that mindset, as you said, he'll do or die. You know, there is no room for negotiation, no room for peace.
I agree that they are paying some tribute to Biden's wishes. Me, you know, I know married people who I know guys who, no matter what their wives say to them, they say yes. And then they go do what they want, even if it contradicts what they said. And they deal with the consequences, but their MO is that it's easier to deal with the consequences than it is to get in an argument or ahead of time. And if I were Netanyahu, I'd tell Biden, I'd say, yeah, it's a good idea. We'll do it. And then I'd go in and destroy them and do exactly what I wanted and deal with the consequences then. Say yes, tell them you're going to do it, and then do what you need to do.
I mean, that can have bad consequences because Iran...
So can not doing anything. You think Israel... 1,200 people savagely murdered, 200 and hostages taken. Anything can have bad consequences. So you can't, you have to measure one against the other, which is likely.
And what are your views on Netanyahu, your perception? I know they're saying that this is his last term. He'll be voted out. People are protesting against him.
You know,
I have a lot of...
Netanyahu had more comebacks than Muhammad Ali. Ali came back numerous times. Well, Netanyahu's outdone him. And I'm not saying he couldn't be removed, but if I were to bet, I'll bet he'll be there after this next election.
Okay. All right. The last topic I want to bring is the U.S. support of Ukraine. You know, the Ukraine-Russia war, which has been going on for almost two years now. Do you condemn or do you agree with the amount of money the U.S. administration is giving to Ukraine? Give me your thoughts on this topic, you know.
Well, what was it Frederick Douglass said? It's easier to train a child than to fix a broken man. Something to that effect. If we had shown strength, I mean, by not only didn't we show strength after the pullout of Afghanistan, but Biden actually said, well, a small invasion would be okay. He publicly said that, insanity, but that's what he said. So it invites aggression. He got what he asked for. That Putin is in there now. I'm not sure he would. In fact, you can't prove anything, but I doubt he would if Trump had been in office. Be that as it may, now that he's there, you have the broken man. Truthfully, I don't know. I have doubts. I mean, you know, the people who want to fund it say he'll only go further. Maybe, maybe not. I don't know that. I can't speak with any conviction. I understand both arguments. Right. I just can't personally, I can't adopt one as superior to the other.
Did you listen to the interview of Tucker Carlson with Putin? Did you ever
have
that?
No, I didn't.
Yes, yes. I think you should look into it, and it is interesting. I mean, Tucker got a lot of heat for that from Hillary Clinton and everyone else. But I think, as you said, it's good to hear both sides of the story. But I think American people should come first for America. You know, once again, this is just my personal opinion. You know, I don't care what they do, but I think this country needs help on its own before it goes out to help others. I mean, I don't know if you have a different point of view.
Well, it does. Absolutely. Oh, no. We must come first, but the world is so linked to it, to, you know, one another now, that maybe supporting Ukraine serves our interest. Maybe it doesn't. I can't answer that. I know supporting Israel serves our interest.
Yes.
I wouldn't be, if it was counter to our interest, I wouldn't argue it, but it clearly supports us.
Great. Last question before we wrap this up, final thing. Would you vote for Trump? Are you voting for Trump, and will Trump win this year?
Does it get dark at night? Do they sell coffee in Starbucks? I wrote a poem about Trump. I can't pull it up now. I could, but can you put it on pause for a second?
Yeah, you can go ahead, pull it up. That's fine. No problem. Go ahead. Okay, we can stay live. Yeah, we can stay live. And also, I want to let our audience know while you're looking for it is we will put your Substack article links. You have two articles that you wrote, Misguided Contribution of Philanthropists and Israel and Israel Policy, so people can actually read your article and your views. So we'll share that. Also, you had a book, Gin Rummy, A Predator's Guide, which apparently did really well from our last podcast. So we will also put your email information.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. So we will put that information, you know, so people can actually, for those of you who don't know Michael, he is considered as one of the best gin rummy players in New York City. And, you know, is considered as a legend in that aspect. So you can email Michael Saul directly. The description, the email will be in the description below. His Substack articles, as I said, would be there as well if you want to read, and you can reach out to him. And let's give Michael a minute to find out a poem as a closing statement on Trump. Okay, Michael, we can hear you, but we can't see you. Let's see if you have the poem for us and our audience.
Oh, well, yeah, give me that. Put it on pause, Sid, for 1 second.
Sure. Go for it. Yes, Michael. Hey, you're back. Let us hear the poem you have on
this is Trump. Called Guilty. With orders from the palace, with hate, anger, and malice, our body politic was raped. 12 of our own answered a corrupt judge's tone, abusing the power of the state. While they issue subpoenas to this man in the arena, King Henry on St. Crispin Day, he bears his sword and his pen, making us great again. These efforts cannot be repaid. Trump's a man of steel with boundless appeal, keeping hope and freedom alive. The man's triple smart, he speaks from his heart, ensuring all we cherish survives. So that is my little pedestrian rhyme. I guess it tells you who I'm voting for.
I love it. I think this was the best closing I've ever counted on this podcast. I mean, you could have not said it better. And listen, let's hope, you know, the future looks bright, and let's hope things turn around November. Although, you know, I don't know, the left, the liberals will do whatever they can to make sure he don't run. But, I don't know if they can overcome the people's popularity and the support that he has. You know, it's tricky. You know, that's all I have
to say. I think he's going to win in the landslide.
Well, let's hope for the best. Michael, thank you so much for coming to this podcast.
Thank you, Sid. I enjoyed it.
Same here. Thank you very much. You take care. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
You too.